presents Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil, based on his novel and starring Richard Brouse with John Glenn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, and Alexandra Day. Episode 9, Faults on Both Sides, featuring this week's guest star, Michael Horden.
Morning, Alec.
Good morning, Mr. Thursday. Have a good weekend.
I took your advice, Alec. Put the case out of my mind and played tennis most of the time.
Good for you, sir. How did you get on?
Not bad. It's all, Alec. I beat Hobson in 2 straight sets.
Well done, sir. I hope you're ready for the fray, then.
Yes, I think so, Alec. Only one thing, really. I wish it weren't before Mr. Justice Kent.
He's all right, sir, if you know how to handle him.
If. The last time I was in front of him, he told me to button up my waistcoat.
Well, that wasn't too bad, sir.
But he put me off my stroke. These things do. When he followed it up by telling me not to sway from side to side, I completely forgot the next question I was going to ask the witness. While I was trying to think of it, he told me to get on with it.
Well, it's all experience, sir.
Well, I wonder what experience I'll have this time. Anyway, he won't be able to tell me to button my waistcoat up. I'm not wearing one.
Oh, no.
Now I suppose he'll tell me I'm showing too much shirt.
Borrow my waistcoat, sir.
I think I will, if you don't mind.
It may be a bit small for you, sir.
Yeah, I can manage. Oh, here we go. It's rather ridiculous, really, to have to dress up for the judge.
I don't know, sir. If you were going to see a young lady, you'd probably brush her hair and straighten your tie first, wouldn't you?
I suppose so. Yes, I would. Yes, that's the point. Yes, I would. Well, there we are. A bit tight. I shouldn't be able to manage. Oh, Lord! There's a button missing. Nope! Another one gone.
I am sorry, sir. Perhaps Mr. Grimes can lend you one. He's not in court today.
Oh, but I can't do that, can I? I can't ask him.
No harm in asking, sir. I'd go and see him now, sir, before his first conference.
Come in. How are you, my dear Thursby?
Good morning, Grimes. I wonder if you could do me a small favor.
Anything at all, my dear fella. You want me advice, do you?
As a matter of fact, Now I find it rather harder to ask than I thought.
Fire ahead, my dear fella. You about the girls. You don't be bashful, my dear fella. We were all there once. Think of me as your father. I could be, you know.
Oh, I thought it was much brighter if you were.
Don't you believe that, my dear fella? When you've been in the bar 20 years, you'll begin to know what it's all about. What is it you want, eh? That's the case you got on this morning in front of Kent, isn't it?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
Testy devil, my dear fella. Try not to annoy him.
Well, that's why I'm here, really.
Well, you're quite right, my dear fella. You see, if you annoy him, he'll say something that makes you feel like the dinner a dog wouldn't eat, and if you feel like that, my dear fella, you may forget the next question you're going to ask.
That's it exactly, Grant. How did you know?
Just the same as with the girls, my dear fella. We've all been there before. What is it you want, my dear fella?
Your waistcoat.
What's wrong with it? Isn't it done up? Gracious me, it's a button undone. Wouldn't do to appear in front of Kent like that, you know. But if I may say so, my dear fella, you're the first pupil who started criticizing my wearing apparel.
Oh, Grant, I wasn't. No, really, I wasn't. It was just a coincidence, that's all.
Well, why did you mention it?
Well, I hope you don't mind, but I wanted to borrow it, as a matter of fact.
Borrow me waistcoat? Oh, that's some pretty funny things said to me by my pupils, and you said some pretty funny things yourself, my dear fella. But nobody's ever asked to borrow me waistcoat. Why can't you wear your own?
Well, it's rather a long story, Grimes, because I left it at home. Yes. See, last time Kent asked me to button it up.
Yes.
So I thought I wouldn't wear one. Then he couldn't tell me to do it up again, could he?
Yes. No.
But now I'm frightened he may not approve of the expanse of shirt.
Oh, you certainly won't, my dear fella. Well, what's the date?
Date? Yeah. Date, my dear fella. Date. It's the 19th of June, as a matter of fact.
Oh, would you believe it, my dear fella? 10 years ago this very day, Kent told me not to show so much shirt.
Then you hadn't a waistcoat?
No. The time before, he told me to button it up.
Oh, well, then you understand.
I have never lent my waistcoat to a pupil yet. Why don't you ask Alec?
Well, I have. Is it too small? There are 2 buttons off it.
We'll try one of the roving room attendants.
Don't they wear uniforms?
We'll try the usher, my dear fella.
Yeah, but I shan't see him until I go into court.
Well, I'm sorry, my dear fellow. I must say, I think it's a bit of a nerve to ask to borrow me waistcoat. You could have done worse, though.
Could I?
Yeah, you could have asked Kent to lend you his.
I suppose you didn't happen to sway from side to side, too, Grimes.
Oh, I still do, my dear fellow, yes.
In front of Kent?
Oh, well, my dear fellow, I must admit I don't sway quite so much in front of him.
Yeah, but doesn't it put you off your stroke? I mean, you know, when you're cross-examining a witness and you're thinking, now I mustn't sway from side to side so much, don't you forget to ask your witness where she was on the 13th of January?
You're quite right, my dear fellow. I did forget to ask her where she was on the 13th of January.
Well, I bet you kicked yourself afterwards.
Oh, no. Oh, no, my dear fellow. I never kicked myself. No, no. You know, I find I get on better with myself when I'm understanding and sympathetic. I tried the other thing, but it doesn't work with me, you know.
You blithering idiot, I said to myself very fiercely. I said, what did you do a damn fool thing like that for?
You know, my dear fella, I actually saw a tear coming out of one of my eyes. I was so sorry for myself, my dear fella, a tear came out of the other one as well. Well, what did you want it of me, my dear fellow? Oh, yes, me waistcoat. I got you. Sure there's nothing else you want, me vest and pants?
Don't wear them in the summer, Graham.
Oh, well, keep your trousers up, my dear fellow. A slip like that in front of Kent wouldn't do you any good. Well, I suppose there's nothing for it.
It's really very, very good of you, Graham.
Oh, never done such a thing like this before. A little picture, my dear fellow. There you are. Hey, do you play tennis, my dear fellow?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
That's good. So does Kent. Now, he's almost 60, but he still plays. He's keen as anything. Now, you try and bring in a tennis metaphor if you can, my dear fella. That'll put you in his good books. Say something about Wimbledon.
Well, as a matter of fact, Grant, my case is about tennis in a sort of way.
Splendid, my dear fella. Off you go, then. Game, set, and match to third.
Yes, Mr. Thursley.
May it please your lordship, I appear in this case for the plaintiff.
Mr. Thursley.
Yes, my lord.
You could oblige me by putting on your wig properly. It's right on the back of your head.
Oh, I'm so sorry, my lord.
Are there any looking glasses in the robing room?
I'm very sorry, my lord.
I said, are there no looking glasses in the robing room?
Yes, my lord.
I pray you.
Yes, my lord.
Well, Thursley, what are we waiting for?
If you please, my lord. I appear in this case for the plaintiff.
You said that before, Mr. Thursley.
I'm sorry, my lord.
Said that before, too.
This case is about tennis, my lord.
Tennis, is it?
Yes, my lord.
Oh, well, that's a pleasant surprise. Let's hope it brings a breath of fresh air into the court. I once had the pleasure of trying a case about cricket. Man killed by a cricket ball. Is this an injury at all?
No, no, my lord, no. The case isn't actually about the game.
What about the game? Well, what on earth do you mean? I thought you said it was about tennis.
It's about tennis pools, my lord.
Tennis pools? What on earth are they?
A variant of football pools, my lord.
Those things? Does no one in the country ever do anything except gamble? When you mentioned tennis, I talked about a breath of fresh air blowing into the court. And I had to be the same old fetid air that blows out of it. No one plays games for the sake of a game today. It's all for the sake of gambling, interviews on television. They've sunk to tennis pools now, have they?
I'm afraid so, my lord.
Degrading. Well, go on, Mr. Thursley. Is your client suing for his winnings and the company refusing to pay on the ground that it's not legal debt? Something of that sort?
Well, my lord, it's not exactly. As a matter of fact,
I wish you wouldn't sway from side to side, Mr. Thursley. That's distracting. It made me forget what I was going to say.
Me too, my lord.
Well, then why do it, Mr. Thursley? Well, do let's get on. So far, I only know the names of the party.
Ah, Thursby, glad you could make it. You're playing with Mr. Justice Kent. Here he is. Good afternoon, Judge. This is Roger Thursby, your partner.
Thursby, eh? Oh, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Judge. It's very good of you to play with me.
I didn't arrange it. The team secretary did that.
Well, I hope I'll be up to your standard, Judge.
Well, we'll see about that later, won't we? I'd like to have a word with you before we start. I take tennis seriously. I don't mind losing, but I always play to win. The claim?
Oh, I absolutely agree, Judge.
Why?
What?
Why?
Well, Judge, it's a little difficult to put into words.
If you can't put that into words, Thursday, why did you come to the bar? Simple enough question. Why aren't you satisfied with the fresh air, the exercise, with the pleasure of making a good stroke, if and when you make one? Why isn't that enough for you? Why do you want to win?
Well, you do, Judge.
Yeah, I dare say I do, but you agreed with me. What I want to know is whether you really mean it or whether you're being as sycophantic outside court as you are in. Is that scruffy-looking thing you're keeping your shorts up with a tie?
It was once, Judge.
Well, may I suggest you wear a belt or nothing at all?
Well, Judge, if I wore nothing at all...
Yeah, now, don't let me... We'll be on in a moment. Now, listen. You're the younger man, so you'll start serving. When I'm standing at the net, I shall have one hand behind my back. If I keep it clenched, I can stay where I am, protect the sideline. If I have one finger, I'm going to cross.
Yes, sir, I have seen it done.
Play a lot?
I'm very keen, but I don't get very much chance now except the weekend.
Yes, well, we're playing third couple. That's because of me. I'm the old man of the party.
Oh, no, Judge.
How old are you, Thursday?
Well, I'm 23, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'm 60. How old do you think our opponents are? I'm standing over there. Gosport and Lyons.
Ah, well, Gosport must be at least 30, I suppose, and Lyons a little younger, I suppose.
Yeah, well, what does that make me?
It makes you the old man of the party, Judge, by quite a bit, if I may say so, if you really want it, Judge.
No, I don't really want it, so I don't mind. What I dislike is the subservience that you young men pay to me. You don't treat your fathers like that. In court, I suppose one has to preserve some distance between the bench and the bar, but I must say I don't much like it there. With respect, you say. Don't feel the slightest respect, do you, Thursday?
Only when you decide in my favor, Judge.
Oh, that's very frank. Tomorrow morning, you'll say, with the greatest respect, my lord, and I respectfully submit and all the rest of it, won't you?
Well, everyone does.
Yeah, I dare say. But when you say, with the greatest respect, my lord, what you really mean is, you blithering old idiot, can't you get this into your thick head? That's what you mean.
Well, Judge, frankly, it depends upon whether you get it into your thick head.
You're improving, Thursday. Don't improve too much.
Well, that's the trouble, Judge. That's the trouble. I mean, you imply that you want me to treat you as an equal, and not as though you were 40 years older than I.
37, Thursday.
Well, what difference does 3 years make, Judge?
Oh, well, not much, I suppose.
Well, then, with the greatest respect, Judge, wouldn't you call that a quibble?
I think you're improving too fast, Thursday. What is required is tact, Thursday. We older men like to be flattered. A little bit of mild impertinence out of court, not in court, mind you, a little bit of mild impertinence out of court we find very pleasant, but don't overdo it. That's all I'm saying. Ah. They want us to play. Bluff. We'll turn. Go on, Thursday. You begin. 15, love. Down, Thursday. Fault. Double fault. 15 all. Watch it, Thursday. Don't want any more of those.
Sorry, Judge.
Look, Thursday. If you must hit my back, do it a little higher or a little lower. Both those were in the same place.
I'm terribly sorry, Judge.
Yes, you're not half so sorry as I am. Fault. Double fault. 15-40. Really, Thursday, you're chucking the game away.
Really, I'm terribly sorry. Are you all right to go on?
Of course I am. Quite as well as any man who's been struck in the back in the same place 3 times with a steam hammer.
I say, Thursday, as you finished early, I wonder if you'd mind playing with me in the mixed. My part has let me down.
Oh, hold it, you please, Miss Porter Chenbury.
Oh, please don't call me that, Thursday. It's such a mouthful.
Well, I don't know your Christian name, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's worse. Do call me that, for heaven's sake. It's Chastity, as a matter of fact.
Well, what's wrong with that? I rather like Charity.
I said Chastity.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, of course. Yes, sir.
Everyone in chambers calls me Chip. I can't think why. I'm 6'2" with nothing on. No shoes or stockings, I mean.
Well, you give me 2.5 inches, but what's that between bricks?
What indeed? We're seeing a lot of each other at the moment. How long do you think we'll be before going on before old Kent?
Kent, another day should do it, I think, yes.
I'm so glad I'm staying with you. I hear you're terribly good.
Well, I'm better here than in court.
Ah, they want us to play. Come along. Do you mind if I serve this end? I simply can't see with the sun in my eyes.
Of course not. 15 now. I see it's a marvelous service you've got, Chip. Ow!
Terribly sorry.
That's quite all right, Chip. Ow! Double four to 15 all. I said, Chip, do you mind aiming a little higher or a little lower?
Sorry, partner.
It's quite right. It's a wonderful service, but if you get me there again...
I quite understand. I really am terribly sorry, but don't stand staring at me when I'm going to serve. Turn round and face the left.
You bet I will.
Hello, Roger. What on earth's the matter? You're walking like an old man.
Hello, Joy. I've got a very painful back.
Oh, you poor darling. I'll take you home and rub it for you.
You can't do that.
Why not?
Sally wouldn't approve.
It's purely medicinal. I know of a wonderful ointment which I'll buy on the way back to your house, and then I'll give you a good rub. The pain will vanish like magic.
You mean that?
Of course I do.
Well, I am rather in agony. And as it is purely medicinal, I don't see that there's really any harm in it.
Now, take your shirt off. And lie down there.
Don't be too long. Sally may be here any minute.
If she loves you, I'm sure she wouldn't want you to be in pain.
No, that's the point.
Now, let's see where it is. Do you feel that?
Oh!
What about that?
No! Oh.
And that?
That's not quite so bad.
Ah. Now we know where we are. Now, relax.
Oh!
You soon feel easier.
Oh! No! Oh! 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 Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, Joy, you're marvelous. Do it again there. There. Oh, it's wonderful.
Roger, would you do this for me if I were in pain?
What's that? Well, a little to the right, please. No, yes, that's it. Marvelous. What did you say?
Would you do this for me?
Well, would I? Well, there, please. Yes, that's right. Oh.
Would you?
If you were in pain, you mean? Now, left. Little higher. Sorry. Oh, but sorry. That's it.
Yes, if I were in pain, would you do it, Roger?
Well, you're not in pain at the moment, are you?
No, Roger, not at the moment.
Well, I suppose, yes, I would. It would be any fair, a little higher.
Of course, when I finish doing you, my own back might ache a little. If I go on, that is.
No, don't stop, Joy, don't stop. You don't know what a relief it is. It's bliss.
But if I go on, Roger, I might ask you to do it for me. I've quite a nice back, you know. I don't think you'd find it a hardship.
Well, I suppose I'd have a moral duty to do it, even if it were a hardship.
You might find it rather nice, Roger.
I shouldn't think of it from that point of view, Joy.
It would be just a matter of duty, would it? But there's no harm in combining duty with pleasure.
No, I suppose not. Now, in the middle, please. Oh, that's right. Just there. You've got it. That's bliss. Absolute bliss.
Jack, you're enjoying it.
Sally.
Don't stop for me.
How else did you get in?
Next time, I should not only close the door, but lock it.
I can explain everything.
You don't need to. I can see everything.
You can't.
I can see quite enough.
The poor boy's got a bad back, Sally. I'm hoping to put it right.
Anything else you're helping to put right?
It's true, Sally. It's purely medicinal.
As the doctor said to his wife on their honeymoon.
Look at my back, Sally. You see the mark. I've just been almost killed by a tennis ball.
Think up a better one than that next time.
But it's true, Sally. You can ask the girl I was playing with. I'll give you her name and address.
I don't need you. I can see the girl you were playing with.
But do look at my back, Sally.
I don't want to look at your back. I'm not interested in the games you play.
Well, I suppose I'd better go, Roger. Sorry I can't do any more of you. As a matter of fact, I've got another engagement.
Talking of engagement, I hope you'll remember that Roger and I are engaged.
Yes, of course. It looks as though you'll be very happy. If I were you, Sally, I should take a little bit of this ointment on your fingers and then go like this. He'll do that for you, Sally, if you do it for him. Goodbye.
It's really true, is it, Roger?
Of course it is.
Well, why must it be Joy? Why not the girl you were playing tennis with?
Well, she did offer, as a matter of fact. She used to be a masseuse, you know, before she came to the bar. But I thought I'd be all right, you see, but it was so painful when I happened to bump into Joy and she told me about this ointment and offered to rub it in, I didn't think you'd mind.
Oh, well. I suppose I'd better have a go. Is that the place? I just wanted to know. Is that better?
Oh. Oh, Sally, darling, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Yes, there. Yes, that's it. Keep on just there. If you knew the relief.
I'm doing it all right, am I?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Is it better than Joy?
Well, it couldn't be better than... Of course it's better than Joy. Go on, Sally, darling. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Come in. What is it this time, sir? It's me. Has Kent reported you to your benches?
He hasn't already, has he? How did you know?
What on earth are you talking about? I'm not serious.
Well, I am, Grimes, terribly.
Well, I don't suppose it's as bad as you think. What happened?
I hit him.
Where?
On his back.
I felt like doing that many times with you, fella. But you're not serious. I mean, for one thing, you couldn't get at it while he's sitting in court.
He wasn't in court.
What do you mean you waited outside the judge's entrance till he came out and then hooked it? Do at all, my dear fellow. Counsel could do that to judges he didn't like. Half the judges would have to wear crinolines or something.
It wasn't like that at all. Of course, I wouldn't do such a thing. No, it was at tennis.
Oh, tennis. That'll teach the old boy to go on playing at his age. But it was an accident, of course.
Well, I hope so, but you see, that's what's worrying me. The first time, it certainly was.
How many times did you hit him?
Three, I'm afraid.
Splendid, my dear fellow. It does look bad, you know. How did it happen?
Well, I served into his back. He said, ow. I apologized, and that was that.
Yes.
But then I served a double fault, and he made some rude remarks. And I did it again.
On purpose, my dear fella.
No, I'm sure it wasn't.
Well, then what happened?
Well, he made some sarcastic remarks about hitting him a bit higher or lower next time, and would you believe it? I did a smasher right in the same place. Well, I couldn't have done it better if I'd been trying to hit him. I've been looking up the statutes, Grimes. Could it be assault occasioning actual bodily harm? I mean, what actually is bodily harm?
Anything calculated to interfere with his health or comfort.
It interfered with his comfort, all right. He went off the court shuffling around like an old man.
But you didn't intend to do it.
Well, not really, no, but you see, then I had a terrible feeling that here was a wide expanse of judge who'd be very unpleasant to me in court and pretty unpleasant to me on the tennis court, cursing me for serving double force. And there was his white shirt with a mark in the middle, which I'd made with the two previous shots. And I had a terrible feeling that the temptation was too great for me. Do you think it was?
Yeah, of course not, my dear fellow. You're torturing yourself quite unnecessarily.
But you can get 5 years for assault occasioning actual bodily harm.
Be sent to prison for the first offense.
Well, that'd be a great comfort, but I'd be disbarred.
Yes, I suppose you would, my dear fellow. We can't have counsel getting their own back on judges in that way, even on the tennis court. But don't you worry, my dear fellow. You didn't do it.
But I did, Grimes. I can hear his scream of pain still.
I wish I could. He's made people scream with pain metaphorically lots of times. But I'll tell you two things, my dear fella. First, you're a tennis player and they don't do that sort of thing. They say a ball's out when it's in, or they complain of the umpire's decision, or use a few rude words, but they never deliberately hit their opponents.
But he wasn't my opponent, he was my partner.
But partners don't hit each other either, my dear fella, even if they don't get on. Now, I come to think of it, I once knew a girl who served hard under my behind.
Oh, she's 6'2" with nothing on.
Well, I never saw her with nothing on, my dear fellow. Sometimes wondered about that service, though.
Well, what had you done?
I mean, well, we won't go into that, my dear fellow. As a matter of fact, I'd rather think it was what I hadn't done. However, in your case, my dear fellow, I think you never do a thing like that deliberately.
Well, it did flash across my mind for just a moment. After all, I hit him twice in the same spot.
Third time lucky, you mean?
But it could have been a sort of fatal fascination. But then I realized it couldn't possibly. I mean,
sure.
I couldn't possibly do it.
Sure, any more than you could jump in front of a train when you lost a case which you ought to have won. Hmm?
Yes, I have felt that too, yes. I suppose it was the fatal fascination which you always resist.
That's right, my dear fellow. That's right. But you had the best of both worlds, didn't you? You resisted the temptation, but you got him just the same. Don't you worry, my dear fellow. You can go in front of Mr. Justice Kent with a clear conscience.
Well, I'm in front of him this morning, as a matter of fact.
Well, watch your step, my dear fellow. He may not be all that affable.
Wait a moment, Mr. Thursby. What do you want to say?
I'm afraid I forgot to tell your lordship who's appearing for the defendant. It was discourteous of me both to your lordship and to my learned friend. A double fault, as you might say, my lord.
This is a court of law, not a junior debating society, Mr. Thursby. Usher, Usher, give me another cushion, please.
My learned friend, Miss Fawcett Turnberry, is for the defendant.
Yes, my lord, I appear for the defendant.
So I can see.
Mr. Thursby, what is it, Alex? Would you just sign this receipt for me, please?
Oh, I can't find my biro.
Here's mine.
Oh, thanks so much.
Mr. Thursby, when you and your learned opponent have finished writing letters to each other, or whatever you're doing, perhaps we can get on with the case.
I'm so very sorry, my lord. I do apologize.
If people want to talk while the case is going on, they must either talk so softly that I can't hear, or they should write it down.
I'll try not to incur your lordship's displeasure again.
So will I, my lord.
You will find it more difficult, Mr. Thursby. Now, your learned opponent wants to hand you a note, Mr. Thursby.
Oh, thank you so much, my lord.
When you've fully digested it, perhaps we can get on with the case.
First of all, my lord, may I hand up to your lordship a copy of the correspondence?
Mm.
Take this to his lordship, please.
Mm.
With great respect, sir, I'm sorry it wasn't handed up before, my lord.
Thank you. What's this? Don't pinch my... Seems to begin with a B.
Oh, Byron, my lord. I'm so sorry. By accident, I must have handed up my learned opponent's note with the correspondence. I'm so sorry, my lord.
You do nothing but apologize, Mr. Thursby.
Well, I'll say that in my relationship with your lordship, a good many apologies have been called for.
Usher. Give me some aspirin, please. Mr. Thursby, Miss Saucy Turnberry, I'm afraid I shall have to rise early this afternoon. I have a bit of painful back.
I do so very much sympathize with your lordship.
I'm very sorry, my lord.
It's a bit late for you to say that.
My lord, might my learned friend and I come and have a private word with you? I think it might be of help to your lordship.
Of help? Very well.
Can we go up to the bench?
Yes, of course. Follow me. Judge, as a matter of fact, exactly the same thing happened to me. And I found some wonderful ointment. I have it here.
Oh, I can't rub my own back.
No, quite no, Judge. But my learned friend used to be a masseuse before she came to the bar. I'm sure she'd be willing to come and do it.
Oh, certainly, Judge. I shall be only too pleased, Judge.
All right. I'm in such pain that I think I'll accept your offer. Very good of you. Now, rise at once. Pain is really too bad. You come too, Thursby. I must have a chaperone. Both of you. Come on up, please. Follow me.
Chips, I hope you don't really think I'll pinch your barrow.
No such luck. I mean, no, of course not.
Well, it's very good of both of you. I really am in agony. Better take off my robes, Miss Moan.
Everything about the waist, please, Judge.
Mm-hmm. How long will it take, do you think?
We'll wait and see, shall we? I know this ointment is absolutely first rate if it's used properly and the patient relaxes while it's being used. It's a pity there isn't a couch in here, but when you've undressed, kindly kneel down and put your head here. Then I'll be able to get at you properly. Right? Come along now, please. Ointment, please, Mr. Thursby.
Here you are. I hope you'll enjoy this, Judge, as much as I did.
And how does this feel?
I can tell you straight away, Thursby, that I'm not enjoying this at all.
That's because you're not relaxing properly. There, that's a little better. Don't tense the muscles, sir. There. How did that feel?
Not quite so bad.
Then keep relaxed. That's a little better. Now, this is going to hurt a little to begin with, but the pain will gradually die away, and you'll get an immense sense of relief.
Hope you're right.
Don't talk so much.
There is one. More there, please. Oh, I can't thank you enough.
Take Lady Kent to Mr. Justice Kent's room, please.
That's quite all right, thank you. I can find my own way. I don't suppose the judge will have risen yet. I'll wait in his room.
Wonderful.
What on earth is all this?
Miss Fawcett Turnberry and Mr. Thursby, my wife.
Oh, how do you do, Lady Kent? Perhaps I better explain. I hit the judge and Miss Fawcett Turnberry is making it better.
Indeed? I'm not really interested in the games you and your girlfriend play.
Oh, Miss Fawcett Turnberry is not my girlfriend. She's a practicing barrister.
And what, may I ask, is she practicing at the moment?
It's quite true, my dear.
It takes a lot of believing. A high court judge half naked and a young woman rubbing him all over?
Yeah, not all over.
A young man looking on, I suppose this is what you call the common law.
I have an idea. Give me the ointment, Chips. Lady Kent, may I suggest that you rub the judge's back with a little of this ointment yourself? I think you'll both find the result most satisfactory.
I suppose I'd better take my gloves off, sir.
I'm sure he'd like it better that way.
Give me the tin. Stay where you are, Charles. Now, let me see. Is that the place? And that? Right. How's that?
Better, dear.
And that more.
Wonderful. Oh, more, dear.
Chips, I think this is where we leave the young people alone.
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the task is played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Brass, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Mr. Justice Kent, Michael Horden, Miss Saucy Turnberry, Alexandra Dane, Alex, Martin Friend, Lady Kent, Eva Stewart. Thoughts on Both Sides was written by Henry Cecil. The program was produced by Trafford Whitelaw.